Move your mood, take notice, remember the simple things that give you joy, keep learning, embrace new experiences, see opportunities, surprise yourself, and give your time, your words, your presence. And if you think about it, if Forest School is done the right way, and it does all of these things, so it is actually a really, really amazing thing to have. You just need to do a bit extra to overcome the barriers that neurodivergent people face, and then Forest School is absolutely amazing. One last thing to think about before I finish is, if a young person says that tip 3 isn't true, think about why they might be saying that. The one thing that people always say is autistic people don't want any friends and all that sort of stuff, and they're happy on their own. But actually, if you look at reasons behind that, that is never ever true. There's different perspectives on it. One thing is, when you're picked on and bullied and all this stuff every single day, you lose reason to want to go out and make new friends, and you lose hope in it being a possibility. So that's when people say, actually, I'm better off being on my own. The other thing as well is when I said about the sort of energy it can take to try and fit in and be normal. Sometimes it takes, when the environment's not right, it takes so much energy to fit in that you don't think it's actually worth taking the time to go to the club, because then you have to spend hours to recover afterwards. That's just an example, but I always think about the reasons behind the behaviour. Thank you for listening.
Amazing. Very moving.
Okay, thank you, Andy. So probably about 16 years ago, I was working as a support worker in Brighton, and I walked into a learning disability club where there was a band playing on the stage. They were making a terrible racket. It wasn't what you would expect to find in your stereotypical learning disability disco. It was one of the most exciting moments of my life. There was lots of great things going on at that point in social care, where a lot of the barriers that Andy spoke about were coming down. And the people who excited me the most and who epitomised that were the band that were on the stage, who were called Heavy Load, who were a learning disability punk band. This is something that leaves the usual kind of learning disability world of going bowling, going swimming, going horse riding, which are all fun things to do. But it was the fact that actually we can knock the walls down and people can live the kind of lives that everybody lives. I'm really happy today to have invited one of the people who's in that band to come and talk about what kind of happened afterwards, and also to help us to learn as a community how we can take those barriers down, how we can involve neurodivergent people in how Forest School develops for them. So this is Paul and Andrew, who've come from Brighton from Stay Up Late.
Morning, everybody. My name's Paul.
And hello, my name's Andrew. And also, let you know, I've got autism as well, and ADHD. And it is good to have them, because autism, it's basically, it's your brain's crosswired, because say like if a normal person sees something, then basically if someone's got autism, they can see it differently.
Thanks, Andrew. So we're going to talk today about the work of our charity, and pick up on some of the things I think that Andy was talking about as well. So our charity is called Stay Up Late, and it came out of the work of the band, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. This is off one of our campaign posters. Imagine if you had to leave every night at 9:30, and when I show this slide in social care settings, sometimes people say 9:30, that's quite late, isn't it? And what the issue is about support workers having to work really rigid rotas, generally ending at 10 o'clock at night. So if you're out at a gig, you're not gonna see the end. And I think people have the right to see the end, you know, whether it's the end of the gig, end of the football match, end of the club night, you know, whatever. So I'm gonna talk a bit more about what we do about that. That's my details. So, as Michael said, the story started, I was working as a support worker in the mid-90s, for a housing organisation in Sussex, and I got to hear this guy Jim on the end here. He has a learning disability, and he used to stand in his bedroom strumming his guitar. And one day his support worker said to him, "Jim, would you like to do anything more than just stand in your bedroom and play your guitar?" And Jim is a man of few words, but they're always great words. He went, "I'd like to be in a band." And so his support worker wrote, this is how long ago this was, he wrote a memo. Do you remember memos? We didn't have emails, we had memos. And he wrote a memo around the association. And I remember seeing this thinking, wow, that sounds great. This guy wants to start a band. So the band formed the week after. And as soon as we started playing together, as Michael said, it was what some people might describe as an awful noise. But it was we didn't decide to be a punk band. Punk was the language that came out as soon as we started playing together. Michael, he hit second on the left there. He had an incredible way of drumming. He'd play really brilliant grooves, and then he'd throw in a roll, and the whole thing would collapse, and the whole song would fall apart. Simon, our singer, he just was a genius at swearing at people. And Jim was just used to stand there strumming his guitar and looking cool all the time. And we used to go on stage. We had no idea what was going to happen, but the thing that would always, we used to play all around the country, and the thing that would always happen was a lot of our fans with learning disabilities would leave gigs just as we were coming on stage. We never thought that was because of what they were about to hear. We always thought it was because there was a fundamental problem in the way social care systems were organised. And what happened was a film company got in touch with us and said, "We are intrigued about what you're doing. Can we follow you around?" So they followed us around for 2.5 years. And the result was this film, Heavy Load. And it was out 10 years ago on the BBC, and it was on at international film festivals and in cinemas and things like that. And I'm not making this up. Mark Kermode reckons his top five rockumentaries of the 21st century, alongside Janis Joplin and Jimmy Danger and things like that. I was blown away. But I actually fell off my chair when I watched that on the BBC website. And one of the stories in the film is how we were getting fed up with seeing this injustice of people having to leave gigs early. So we did something about it. Put my notes. Oh, this is a picture of Simon levitating in Berlin. And we went and played. We played Berlin, a couple of Glastonbury's. We played in New York. We played. We even went on a road trip to Copenhagen and played in a sort of a burnt-out squat. We did some amazing things. And this is from our last ever gig, 2012. We were invited to play as part of the Paralympics on this massive stage in Trafalgar Square. And by that time, Michael, our drummer, he said, "Do you know what, Paul, I'm 50, it's time to retire." And that was that. And 15 years of anarchy and mayhem ended in Trafalgar Square. Great way to go out. And by that time, we'd set up the charity Stay Up Late. So we started the campaign of Stay Up Late, but we set up the charity because we felt that, especially because we had all this massive reach with the film, we thought we'd done a really great job of illustrating this issue and saying, yeah, you know, if you have a learning disability and live in the UK at the moment, life is pretty crap. You know, we thought we'd done a good job of that, but I didn't feel that was a responsible place to stop the conversation. If the band finished, how are we going to carry that on? So the way we did that was setting up a charity to try and be part of the solution and not just say, yeah, this is a big problem. So that's what we did. And our work falls into two main areas, and I'll talk a little bit about both. So we've just launched our No Bedtimes campaign, which is about saying people with learning disabilities should not be treated like children. My kids don't abide by bedtimes. I don't see why adults should have bedtimes either. And then the other thing we do is Gig Buddies, which is a practical solution, we get volunteers, we match up volunteers with people with learning disabilities and autism through a shared interest.